So we had to pivot quickly and find alternative solutions to make things happen. But I think that's the nature of the innovation lab. When you're trying to experiment, you need to be able to, you know, fail quickly and pivot.
Welcome to the Loss and Transformation podcast series dedicated to the complex world of digital transformation. We feature guests from large corporations, startups, consultancies, and more to shed light on the success factors around innovation, transformation, and adjacent topics. We share firsthand insights and inspiration from experts for all the entrepreneurs, and anyone curious about digital transformation. Cherry Zhou leads the business operations of PayPal's Singapore Development Center and oversees the PayPal Innovation Lab there. Cherry shares how the lab shapes digital transformation and goes deeper into the journey of the PayPal FinTech program. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Cherry. Welcome and thanks for joining us on Lost in Transformation. And as the title actually reveals, we'd like to hear from innovation and transformation heroes about their stories. And you've been with PayPal for quite a while and are leading the Singapore Development Center. For today, let's talk about the role of the PayPal Innovation Lab in shaping digital transformation. How did the journey start?
First of all, thanks, Christine and Sebastian, for inviting me. I'm glad to be here. Let me give you guys a little bit of sort of context on how PayPal Innovation Lab started here in Singapore. So the lab was originally created, launching back in 2015, when I think it was through, at that time, our CEO had a visit here in Singapore and met some, you know, EDB and talking about how PayPal can further contribute towards the innovation, you know, here in Singapore. At that time, I think a bit emphasis was around smart nation. And certainly digital transformation was a big topic then. So I think being PayPal, you know, leading global player from a fintech perspective, I think, you know, there was a lot of synergies to collaborate with Singapore government to figuring out, you know, what can we do from that perspective. So that's how the lab was born initially back in 2015. And over the next few years, you know, some of the things that we have looked at in terms of, you know, we were thinking about, okay, how can we contribute towards the local ecosystem? What are the needs from an industry or even from a fintech landscape here in Singapore that are needed? So we essentially came up with a few specific pillars and areas that we focus on. First was around startups. We created an incubation program that's designed and specifically for startup, helping them grow from the early stage to raising funds and also helping them scale from product standpoint and hoping for them to raise Series A funding. The second piece was around outreach program. Earlier on, we thought, you know, again, SMEs is a backbone of Singapore economy. So we want to do help through our technology know-how and the data that we have. How can we further help the SMEs to walk through the journey of digital transformation? And the last piece was, you know, to accelerate our internal innovation, you know, within PayPal, we set up an R&D team here in Singapore that focusing more on the deep tech area, more specifically around AI, machine learning, data science, et cetera. And because, you know, from PayPal standpoint, I think we've been a leading expert from a risk management perspective. So we actually has been using machine learning and AI techniques in our risk detection areas quite a bit. But then we also know that, you know, from a AI standpoint, it's actually going to be touching not just risk, but, you know, across all the different problems that, you know, we could be encountering and impacting various industries. So we want to accelerate that effort. So then we created this R&D team hoping to do that. And now with the R&D team that we have, we're looking into areas, you know, specifically around compliance. How do we serve our customer better from a customer support standpoint? How do we continue to focus on how do we better underwrite our merchants to both protect them and also protect PayPal as well? So these are just a few examples. So those are the few areas that we started out as in the lab. In the last year or so, we have pivoted from an outreach standpoint. We thought, okay, looking at the whole digital transformation landscape, we were working with SME quite a lot, trying to help solve their problem, but we didn't feel like we were getting the scale that we really wanted to reach, you know, in terms of the effort that we put in. And in also talking to the various small business owner, I think one of the number one concern continues to be, I think from a resource perspective or the tech talent perspective, they simply don't know how to tap into that. So we thought, hey, why don't we create a specific program and working with the local higher learning institutions and figuring out how can we solve that problem. And that's really how the PayPal FinTech program came about, where we are partnering with all the polytechnic schools locally and ITEs here in Singapore. The idea is that, you know, we would instill the schools in helping the faculties train them up to speed on fintech in general, the whole payment ecosystems. We provide them with hands-on API exercise in terms of how they could integrate payments into an online e-commerce workshops. So then these faculties has the, you know, right knowledge and materials, and they would be in turn turning around and coming up with the curriculums for their courses, and they will offer now to the polytechnic students. So that was one of the, you know, main piece of, you know, the program entails. The other parts where once the students gone through this program, they would have the opportunity to be interning at PayPal for duration of the internship to get a real world experience, a hands-on experience in terms of putting the learnings that they had in school into the workplace. So this is the current phase of the program. But in longer term, what we're really hoping to see is that once these students have the knowledge and once they graduate, that they can really going out into the workforce and really helping the SMEs to provide some of these technical expertise that they might have gained and help these SMEs to, you know, with their digital transformation effort. So those are the things that we had back in mind when we created PayPal FinTech program.
Mm-hmm. And what is your experience so far with it, with the students you've been in touch with from these institutions?
So, you know, we started this in March last year. And originally we had a goal of about 500 students to go through our program, you know, per year basis. But, you know, we're actually quite surprised just within, you know, 2019, we were able to see, you know, 1,500 students have gone through this program. So it really exceeded our expectations, you know, as far as the number of students that are interested in taking, you know, courses like this. So from that standpoint, we're really pleased to see the progress from that front. We're hoping in 2020, if not same, but more students will go through this program, but we'll have to see, you know, the whole COVID situation. We also have a number of interns that have interning with us and that are still with us today that are doing merchant integrations and help solving our customer pain points and things like that. So I think based on the feedback, you know, from the students, I think we're pleased that, you know, not only they're able to gain the experience that they need, and also, I think, you know, really help them think about, you know, what is it like working in a high-tech firm like PayPal? Because a lot of these students sometimes don't have the necessary opportunities to intern in a place like PayPal. And we're very glad that we're able to provide opportunities to them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, what did the benefit look like for the SMEs? Could you maybe highlight one or two concrete things that were actually implemented and that really helped?
So we're actually in the phase one of, you know, the program right now. What I just described in terms of helping the SME and doing the matchmaking, that's our phase two. And that's something we're going to be launching this year. And actually, this comes at a great time right now because, you know, as you guys know, with the whole COVID situation, many of the SMEs, yet they're strapped for cash, you know, looking for capitals, trying to survive. But we have seen many of these small, medium businesses that are reaching out and say, hey, I really need help now to go towards, you know, digital and go online in order for my business to survive. So I think there's going to be a lot of demand, you know, after this whole COVID situation, you know, comes under control to allow us to do a bit of matchmaking with schools and the SMEs to come together and help some of these problems that the merchant have. So I can't give you any concrete cases so right now, but that's definitely the goals that we're trying to achieve this year. We are in talks with the poly schools in terms of how can we put this program together, you know, immediately after sort of the COVID situation is under control. But that's the idea around it. Based on what I'm seeing, you know, if you look around in Singapore, there's actually a lot of resources and programs available, right, for the SMEs to tap to, right? Whether it's an IMDA, right, Skills Future, many of these, I think there are a lot of resources out there. And from a talent perspective, certainly schools are there. But you still are continuous to hear from merchant that, I don't know where to go. I want to go online, but I need help. I don't know who to go, you know, hire to get tech talents, per se. Because a lot of these small, medium businesses are mom and pops, right? That's in their 50s, 60s, may not, you know, touch technology, you know, at all. So they need a lot of help. So that gets us, so that sort of validates our theory around we really need to have a more robust program, putting all these resources together from a human capital perspective and also from a capital, you know, the financial aspects of it, put it all together and serve it to the SME community in a more easier fashion. So then it becomes a lot for these merchants to get tap into these resources. So that's what we're working on right now, trying to make that happen. And if you talk to the small, medium businesses, I think some of them are actually afraid. You know, they want to do it, but they're afraid to do it, right? And I think some of those pieces that I talk about, you know, not knowing where to go, not knowing who to contact. And the other demystified thing we need to dispel is that it's actually not very expensive. It's not expensive to set up a website, right? Actually, if you know where to go, you can get it for free, essentially. But many of these people don't know that. So that's where we're going to be, you know, working on to try to help bring that to the small, medium business communities.
That's super interesting. So PayPal is sort of becoming a catalyst for digital transformation for some of these smaller stores. Somebody who can bring all of the different competences and the resources to the table. That's really cool.
Yeah. So certainly, I think that goes into sort of our value as well, you know, in terms of PayPal as a goal, overall mission is to help continue to serve the customer globally and bring as many people, you know, to the digital revolution as much as possible. And so then they can, you know, all benefit from this great time that we're in. Because I think, you know, for people that have come on to this whole fintech and the whole digital transformation, I think there's so much benefit for them to gain. So we're definitely very excited to try to help more people to come on board.
What does it look like for you in Southeast Asia? If we look beyond Singapore, are you also targeting other countries in this region? And what kind of differences do you see?
I think so far we've been mostly focusing in Singapore, but certainly if you look just beyond, you know, and looking at this region, I think there is a similar needs in terms of helping these small and medium businesses, helping them tap on the right resources. I think for us, if we were to get into those locations, I think the challenge that we have, and I think obviously the language is a big, big part that we have to overcome, right? Be able to translate into the local language and working with the local partners to help them on that. From PayPal standpoint, you know, we are currently operating in Singapore, India, Hong Kong, and we have license in Thailand. So I think, you know, from a location perspective, we certainly will be looking at places that we have a presence in to start out. But, you know, longer term, we hope, you know, that we can bring more of this to other parts of Southeast Asia.
Great. And then in running the development center here.
Yes.
I'd be curious what the differences might be, if there are any, in terms of the type of technology or applications that you guys are looking into when you specifically do research and kind of new developments out of Singapore.
Within the lab R&D, I think we're focusing on, like I mentioned earlier, some of the deep tech areas. A lot of it is around, currently we're looking at NLP, natural language processing. One of the things that we're looking at there is because PayPal as a whole, we got about, I think, 22,000-23,000 employees globally. But, you know, actually, majority of our employees are customer service agents. And, you know, PayPal has benefited quite tremendously from a transaction volume perspective. So as you can imagine, when our transaction volume grows, our call volume grows as well. So that requires a lot more, you know, human agents try to handle those calls. But from a business standpoint, we really can't run that way. So we're looking at various techniques, whether it's NLP or other, you know, techniques to try to help bring more, you know, AI, the chat bots, the bots intelligence into our services so that we can better serve our customer, not more proactively in a sense where, you know, not when customer has a problem and they call us and then we have to deal with it. How can we, you know, detect the problem customer have and actually proactively reaching out and try to address it in that manner, so it brings better customer experience. So a lot of our efforts in Singapore has been focusing around how do we further increase the efficiencies for a lot of the work that we do because of the scale of our platform and our customer base. So those are the type of things that we're very much focusing around.
Mm-hmm. And you've been introducing at the beginning how it all started, how you developed over time. And can you share a bit about what mistakes or pitfalls you encountered along the way?
So I think if you look at innovation in general, or even digital transformation, it's actually very hard. Because when you get down to the crux of it, it's about change. And a lot of people, you know, that don't like change, right? So you are going to be meet with a lot of resistance to that change. And from, you know, PayPal standpoint, even from our own innovation standpoint, that's a constant uphill battle that we're facing. But you know what? I think that's something that, you know, as a team, you need to have grit. You need to have the conviction to really see that through, right? Not everybody's going to be with you, but, you know, if you believe in the work that you do and, you know, the work that you're doing translate into a business value, I think people will come around. And that's what we're seeing. First couple of years been challenging, but I think last 1 or 2 years has been really fruitful that we're getting a lot more support from, you know, various organizations. They're coming to us and say, hey, we need your help. We need the expertise that, you know, you have developed and to help us solve this problem. So and I think in summary, it's really about, you know, having the patience and having the grit, right, to see through the work that you're doing, whether it's innovation or digital transformation. So that's something that we have learned a lot from. And it's going to be a continuous uphill battle, but the team really gets satisfied when we're actually solving, you know, big problems. So mm-hmm. We just keep that in mind.
Yeah. So it's also about the team you're having and the mindset as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So the team mindset is very important. And we really have to balance in terms of, you know, trying to experiment thing that just way out there, right? Trying to just experiment on technology just for sake of technology versus balance on, you know, leveraging the technology to solve a business problem. I think you need to have a balance of both, you know, within your resource allocation. And that's what we're trying to do within this innovation lab. So then not only we're trying to bring value in the more immediate term, but we're also thinking ahead, you know, a couple years down the road, what the organization might need. So that's what we're trying to do.
Right. Having that longer term vision then as well.
Yes.
And what would you say was your biggest learning along the road?
I think having that top, the senior leadership buy-ins is extremely important because that really will open up the doors on various fronts. So, you know, if anyone is thinking about, you know, starting an innovation lab or even team, I think having the alignment with senior management is very important. And secondly, I think looking at the business problems that the team can help potentially solve. So at least bring some real tangible metrics right into the team, so then the team can shoot for from a goal standpoint. I think that's important. I think early on for us at the Innovation Lab, we really didn't have that. So it was a lot more about experimenting things and just, you know, at times, you know, people would just wander around, you know, not really sure it would go somewhere. But so I think having a more tangible goals that people can align to, I think will help a lot, move the needle, so to speak. So those are, you know, a couple of things that I've learned throughout the way.
Yeah, I think having that tangible goal is quite important. And also, when you were talking about the journey, it sounded quite smooth from the beginning to where it is now. How do you actually measure if you've been successful in your job?
I think I ask that question myself every day. But the programs that, you know, that I described earlier, for every single program that we have sort of the short-term, medium, long-term target. And all of the program we put together has a three-year roadmap, so to speak, we put it together. So because one of our thought is when we are doing certain programs or initiatives, we wanted to make sure that, you know, the program can be sustained, right? So it is not a one-time thing. So that's what we put into place. And along the way, we definitely have more tangible goals that we measure, or we try to measure and sort of see how things go. It might sound like everything is smooth sailing, but I'll tell you, actually, it's not. Behind the scene, there has been a lot of struggles, pivots, right? Pivots from stakeholder feedbacks or things that just simply didn't work, right? So we had to pivot quickly and find alternative solutions to make things happen. But I think that's the nature of the Innovation Lab. When you're, you know, trying to experiment, you need to be able to, you know, fail quickly and pivot. So we've been able to do that and trying to, again, keep our long-term vision goals in place and just march towards that. There will be delays, you know, I would say, you know, not everything's smooth sailing, but at the end, you know, again, if you persist through, I think eventually things will come around.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good learning and takeaway from this episode to, yeah, fail quickly and then pivot and be flexible and, yeah, along the journey.
There's definitely one thing I'd be curious about, which is obviously you said the relationship with the senior management, and senior management buy-in is very important, and the mission also changed
Yes.
along the way. How do you manage that when you start out with maybe one mandate and then later it changes, but then you have to relate that back and you have to get everybody again to buy in and get everybody on the same page? What is that like?
I think for us, we did have a lot of internal organizational changes per se. And I think luckily, the programs that we have created weren't really affected by the organizational changes that we had, you know, internally. But, you know, to your point, I think every single time there is a change in leadership, we would make sure that we would go in front of the to our stakeholders, right, and tell them about the values and the work that we're doing and how that's benefiting, you know, PayPal as a whole, Singapore. And most of our senior leaders are very, you know, accommodating. They're all buy into it. They know there are good things going on, so they wouldn't, you know, just turn it upside down per se. A lot of it is more about providing suggestion, you know, incremental improvements that we could do more so then it can further relate to the organization. So for us, at least Innovation Lab, we're very fortunate at this point. We've actually been mostly standalone, and we sit under, you know, within the technology organization, and our senior leader is very supportive in terms of things that we're doing. So we haven't been affected too much, all the internal org changes that have happened. But to your point, and I think just coming around, I think communication is a key. Right, constantly reaching out to your stakeholders, seeking their feedback on what they would like to see more of. And I think just making sure there's that alignment in place, I think it has helped us so far.
And then maybe to wrap it up and also give an outlook towards the next few years. What is your hypothesis for the future of commerce and transactions? What are we going to see happening, and what is maybe going to change quite a bit over the next few years?
Okay, from a business standpoint, I mean, PayPal actually, we've been very fortunate that our business is actually still doing, you know, fairly well in terms of overall, you know, transaction volume perspective. But certainly, you know, within certain sectors, it's, you know, hit really hard. Travel, you know, tourism, F&B, those type of things. But from what we can see is we're seeing a lot more people coming online. A lot of new customers that might have signed up with PayPal, you know, 6 months, a year ago are coming back, you know, because of COVID situation, and they're starting paying things online. There's a lot more of P2P movements going on because I think there's a lot of, I think, goodwill going on, people helping each other, you know, giving money to each other, helping each other out. So we're seeing a lot of activity. But I see in the future, certainly, I think all business, you know, after coming out of this, will definitely need to think about what's their online strategies, you know, from a BCP plan, how can they develop a more, you know, robust digital strategy moving forward. You know, personally, I see some of the sector that will be very interesting in the future. You know, I have kids at home, they, you know, everybody's currently doing online learning, schooling. So I think in this space, from an education sector, you probably will see new disruptions or new creative innovation that comes out of this. You know, China is probably way ahead, but I think for the rest of the world, I think time for them to catch on from that standpoint. And also, I think from a delivery standpoint, everything that you need, whether it's food, it could be anything, the business needs to have ways to deliver to your house, so to speak. So I see that as something that will evolve, you know, over the next couple of years. And from a payment perspective, certainly, I think we're going to see will be the benefit of, you know, more people paying things online and getting more comfortable at it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. Thank you, Jerry, so much for sharing about the journey, also learning more about PayPal's Innovation Lab and about the fintech program that you have.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us, and have a good day.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure talking to all of you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Lost in Transformation with our host Sebastian from Ming Labs. If you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe to our channel and leave us a review on iTunes. Join us next time for another episode of our podcast.